Psalm tonight. Isaiah chapter 53. And Isaiah 53, familiar passage. We think about Easter today and, of course, taking of the Lord's Supper, remembering His death. Again, the Lord's Supper is a memorial, a set symbolic ordinance that we as the church do in remembrance of the Lord's broken body and His blood that was shed on Calvary. As we think about baptism is a memorial in that we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, these two ordinances of the church. By the way, we're given to the church, not to individuals. It is the church who has authority to baptize. It's the church who has authority to give the Lord's Supper. And just want to kind of reiterate that. We have a lot of individuals running around doing the Lord's Supper in rest homes and other areas. And those individuals, the mandate wasn't given to individuals. It was given to the church. Churches, actually. And so tonight we observe the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, communion, and we're partaking of that. Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." And this is talking about Christ now, "as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." And there's some, maybe a little debate as to what verse 2 is speaking of, but just plainly speaking, it means that, you know, Jesus wasn't a good-looking Jew. I mean, he just wasn't. That's not what attracted you to Christ. It was not how he looked. He was the typical Jew. Olive skin, short hair, by the way, and just the typical Jew. Looking Jew, by the way, not the typical Jew, but typical-looking Jew. I'll get that straight. "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Aren't we thankful for that? Amen? Amen. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb." Remember, they asked, "Won't you speak for yourself? Won't you say something?" And boy, he said very little when they were beating him, when they were mocking him, and all those things. "As a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him, why is that? Because he had taken upon the sins of the world upon himself. And God bruised him. "He had put to him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." God is not satisfied with people burning in hell. He doesn't look over hell. He doesn't put his nostrils over hell and breathe in and say that, and that satisfies his righteous anger. No. No, it was the death of his son that provided satisfaction for his anger, for his wrath upon sin. Not people dying and then going to hell. Don't ever get the idea that God is, takes some kind of joy or some kind of, pleasure in seeing people go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but all should come to repentance. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." And I remind you too, verse 10, he saw his seed. He saw us and prolonged his days. Why did he stay on the cross? He didn't have to. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called legions of angels. But he didn't, because he saw us. Because he saw those saints in the past, the saints in the future. And he stayed on the cross in order that we might have eternal life. It's a great, great passage of Scripture. Great prophecy concerning Christ. Why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We always, as is our custom, to turn over here and just talk real quick. What is the purpose of the Lord's Supper? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. For as oft as you drink, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So we are showing the Lord's death, remembering the Lord's death until he returns, remembering his broken body, remembering the blood that he shed on Calvary. Again, we just read Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. Psalm 22, verse 14 says, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted in the midst of my bowels. Psalm 22, again, verse 15 says, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Verse 16 says, they pierced my hands and my feet. Psalm 22, 17 says, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare at me. Again, a great prophecy concerning Christ and his death on Calvary. Remembering the blood, John 20, verse 33 through 34 says, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers was with his spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out thereout blood and water. Jesus Christ gave his life for us and shed his blood for us. And just want to remind you that his blood was necessary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. His death was necessary. Both were necessary in order for us to have eternal life. They are not one in the same. They both are necessary. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old, when I accepted Christ my Savior, I was plunged beneath the blood of Calvary, and my sins were washed away. My sins were purged. They were forgiven and gone. I love that old song. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Been thrown in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. Thrown as far as the east is from the west. So, as we come back to 1 Corinthians, remember that not only is remembering his death, but remembering that it's an act of obedience. He said, this do in remembrance of me. It is a command. It's not an option. We are to partake of the Lord's Supper as a church. And by the way, as often as you drink, it doesn't give a specific time. It doesn't say you have to do it on the fifth Sunday. It doesn't say you have to do it on Easter and Christmas. It's kind of what we do, but some observe it every Sunday. That's their preference, but it's a preference. It's not a biblical, there's no biblical scripture to back that up. And so we partake of it usually two or three times a year. But this do in remembrance of me. We are to participate and be a part of the Lord's Supper. So tonight you are fulfilling the Lord's command. Just as you fulfill the Lord's command in baptism, tonight you are fulfilling the Lord's command in partaking of the Lord's Supper. Number two, it's an act of remembrance, as we've already stated. In remembering me, verse 24 and 25, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Remembering the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, it's an act of testimony. An act of testimony. And remembering, he says, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We read a moment ago. You do show the Lord's death till he come. By the way, he's going to come. He's going to return. And we're to be a testimony for him until he returns. And one way we can be a testimony is by way of the Lord's Supper. Remembering his death until he comes. By the way, we do that through baptism. Baptism is a public display of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a public identification that I'm identifying with Jesus Christ, publicly identifying with him. And lastly, it's an act of obedience. It's an act of examination. An act of examination. At the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. And that's what we have, a heart problem. And so tonight, as we think about this, look at with me there. And verse 27 says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man, of mankind, both men and women, examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if a man hunger, let him eat at home. And you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So Paul was saying, hey, this is not, it's not a meal. You're not to come and make it a meal. This is not to eat at home. He said, but when you come, better examine yourself. make sure that you have your relationship with the Lord is right. So tonight we want to give you that opportunity as we come and take an invitation. We're going to turn to Hymn 534 as we stand. Cleanse me. And tonight maybe you want to come and examine yourself and prove yourself. James says in chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Tonight maybe you want to come. Maybe tonight there's something else, maybe something you want to come and pray to the Lord about, whatever your need is, you come tonight after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this symbolic ordinance and remembering Your death and remembering the blood that was shed. And I pray tonight that, again, as we look to partake of the Lord's table, that You would help us and recall the sins that we may have in our life that we need to get right with You. And, Lord, that we may take of the cup worthily. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing.